When we heard about the shooting at State and Illinois recently in River North, I think a lot of people started thinking, what in the world is going on downtown? And the Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins has been hearing from a lot of his constituents in that area about this as well. Good morning, Alderman. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening. I've talked to a lot of folks who live or work in that area who are saying that things have gotten pretty sketchy, as they've said to me. What have you heard from the police, and what are they doing about the problem?
The one thing that they are doing about the problem that, you know, they believe is having a positive impact is they've really increased the number of weapons that they're seizing and confiscating and making arrests for unlawful use of a weapon, which in many cases involves nothing more than having a firearm in your vehicle, you know, under the seats, under the floor mats, in some cases in plain view in your lap. And you might not be committing a crime at that exact moment, but you're driving around with a loaded handgun or a loaded weapon of some kind. And we have dramatically increased the number of arrests that are being made for that activity. Now, of course, the problem with that is it indicates how many weapons are in the downtown area at a given time. You might be walking downtown, you might be driving through downtown, and you're walking right past people who are armed. And these are not people who have, the credentials. They don't have concealed carry permits. Most cases, the weapons aren't registered. Most cases, they're stolen. So these are criminals. These are criminals armed with guns, and they are everywhere downtown right now. So it's a tense situation because, really, the recent arrests that I've been informed of in the last week or so have gone pretty well. There's been, no cases where someone has attempted to fire on a police officer, taking them into custody. Nobody has been shot during an arrest downtown recently. But it's probably just a matter of time before that changes and before someone decides, you know what, rather than go peacefully, I'm going to shoot it out with this police officer on a street in the downtown area. That's where we're headed, and it's actually a terrifying thought.
And I know a lot of the constituents you've been talking to in your area there of the Second Ward, and that includes parts of River North, Old Town, Streeterville, and Lincoln Park, are terrorized on a daily basis now, aren't they? And are some, they must be talking about moving.
Yeah, I'm hearing quite a bit of that. I think many aldermen are hearing the same thing, you know, from all neighborhoods across the city of Chicago. It's people who never thought they would give up on city life, never thought that they would leave the city, but everybody has their breaking point. And if you personally experience, carjacking, for example, you know, you're minding your own business one moment, putting groceries in your trunk, and the next minute someone is pressing a gun to your neck and shouting at you that they'll kill you if you don't hand over your keys, that may be enough for you to decide you're going to move. And we hear from those people. They want to tell us what happened to them. They want us to know their experience. They want us to know their story. And they want us to know that they're moving somewhere where they think such an event is less likely to happen.
You've pointed out that Cook County Jail is half empty right now. And also, five of the seven shooting victims last weekend in the 18th District had multiple felony convictions for violent crimes in their recent history. So that what's wrong with our system?
Exactly. Between the two of them and that the case you cited on Elm Street, there were over 30 convictions between the two of them, most of them for major felonies. These were not people who should have been free to roam the streets. At some point, it becomes highly predictable when a person is engaging in the same illegal violent activity over and over and over again. You just have to decide, look, they're not going to stop. You know, we need to incarcerate them. There's a reason that jails were built in the first place, to separate dangerous, violent people from the rest of us. It's really that simple. And we've gotten away from that. It's become sort of a controversial statement to say we should be sending people to jail and incarcerating them. Well, we shouldn't be doing it for minor offenses. And, you know, I think the war on drugs ultimately turned out to be a mistake, where we incarcerated people for lengthy periods of time for, you know, nothing more than ingesting a substance. But to extend that to violent criminals who harm innocent people on a repeated basis and say, well, we're not going to put them in jail either. What a terrible experiment that we are engaging in this society. It has severe consequences because the criminals know it. They're well aware of the fact that the police won't chase them. And if they are arrested, they're unlikely to be incarcerated for any length of time at all. And so they're free. They're free to continue to commit violent crimes without any kind of fear of consequences.
All right. So how do we get the pendulum to swing the other way?
Well, it requires leadership. It requires a change in philosophy. You know, on New Year's Day in 2023, a new law is going to take effect that all but eliminates holding people in prison in lieu of cash bail. So the problem is going to get worse before it gets better. And I just think we really need to focus on some of the assumptions that were underlying this new experiment in decarceration, basically saying if we're just nicer to criminals and stop punishing them, maybe they'll stop committing crimes. It turns out that's a ridiculous notion, and that is not going to happen. The opposite has to happen. We need to start imposing longer and stiffer sentences on people who roam our streets with armed guns looking for opportunities to victimize and harm innocent people. It simply cannot be allowed to continue. No society can survive that kind of chaos and disorder if, as a matter of policy, we decide we're going to stop punishing people who harm other innocent victims.
Meanwhile, do we have enough police to patrol more heavily these downtown areas that are so important for tourism and the spots that most folks around the city and in the suburbs, for that matter, head down to for entertainment and restaurants? What can the police do in the meantime?
Yeah, we don't have enough patrol resources right now. We're down about 2,000 from where we need to be. And when you say 2,000 compared to, you know, a population of 11,000 or 13,000 patrol officers, which would be considered the ideal, it doesn't sound like all that much, but it really is. It has a profound impact on peak hours for criminal activity, particularly on the weekends, you know, in the warm summer nights, you know, when you've got a lot of activity going on and the 911 switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree. We simply don't have enough police officers to respond to 911 calls. So all of our downtown districts routinely now go into what's called a backlog status, which is 911 requests for service, even for, in some cases, things like aggravated battery, sexual assault, robberies in progress, burglaries. There's nobody to respond to those calls, sometimes for hours. And that goes on throughout the week, throughout the weekend. We're dealing with that right now. And it's not just downtown. Some of the outlying neighborhoods are experiencing the same thing. We pull patrol resources from areas that we think we can maybe spare them for a while and move them downtown when necessary. But that isn't fair to the neighborhoods that we're taking those police officers from either.
Right.
So
it's
a citywide problem, and poaching them from one neighborhood to move to another is far from a perfect solution.
Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins. Brian, I appreciate the time, and let's talk again soon, and hopefully you can bring us some optimism somewhere. Look for some good news, will you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bob. And if I get some good news, you're going to be the first to hear about it. Thank you.
It's a deal.